at the school ball, which we attended on the sad day of the Australia Day weekend. Imagine if when we encountered people who'd become ill, we called out, "Unclean! Unclean!" These staffs were not lepers. And the head of primary, because she was unwell, wore a mask. But it begs the question, have there ever been times when you've been treated like a leper? Leprosy is only one thread connecting the Old Testament and the Gospel readings. A theme running through both passages is desperation. Naaman and the unnamed leper in Mark are both desperate to be healed, to be made whole. And they'll do anything to be healed, to be made whole. Naaman travels a considerable distance and spends a lot of money based on the word of a slave girl, all in the hope that some unknown prophet in some faraway conquered land might be able to rid him of this disease. We've had many stories over the past few years of people travelling as far away as America and Mexico and the Philippines to faith healers to try and heal them of their illnesses and spending lots and lots of money. You know, fund me page. You know, did Naaman put up a fund me page on the local Facebook? And when the healing occurs, it doesn't happen the way that Naaman had in mind, believing his station, who he was, called for a 5-star treatment. He reckons his own rivers were better than the River Jordan. But when he swallows his pride, he's healed. And he understands the bigger picture. And he gives thanks to God and praise. Now, the unnamed leper who approaches Jesus risks everything. Leprosy, you must understand, leprosy could be anything from a rash to a flesh-eating bacteria. It didn't matter. And people who lived in absolute fear of leprosy and all those who had leprosy. So if you had a skin disease, you were made into an instant outsider. Sounds like a teenager with acne. The law in Leviticus is very clear. It states, the person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head be dishevelled, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And he shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. Diagnosis. You have leprosy. Therefore, you have lost everything. Your job. Your family. Your place in the community. You have lost everything. Jesus' encounter with the leper is about a man who is desperate. Desperate enough to break the law by coming into the city and getting close enough to Jesus that he could talk to him. He was really lucky he wasn't stoned on the way. And Jesus heals him. The leper's desperation is turned to joy. And Jesus tells him to go and show himself to the priest to prove that he is cured. This was the law. And Jesus was a law-abiding Jew. Jesus also tells him, don't talk about this healing with other people. Because Jesus didn't want to be known only as a healer or worse yet as a magician. Because remember, he comes from Galilee. And Galilee were all these charlatan healers and fake prophets came from. He didn't want popular thought about what a Messiah should be about to override his God-given ministry. And this is what theologians call the messianic secret. Right up until the middle of Mark's gospel, Jesus keeps a lid on who he is. And then after the middle of Mark's gospel, he turns his face towards Jerusalem and leads. So overcome with joy is this former leper that he can't control himself. He goes and blabs to everybody. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you if you had a diagnosis of, say, terminal cancer and you were cured? Wouldn't you want to tell everybody? Oh, look at me. Woohoo. Oh, what a feeling. Right. And you'd want to tell everybody because you've been made whole. You could re-enter the community. You could reconnect with your family. You could get a job. You could start living again. And this is where I think we have to be very careful to distinguish between healing and wholeness. Lots of people are healed from disease but go back to living the same dead-end lives they were living before they got sick. To be made whole is something else. It is to be changed. It is to be transformed. If we had the other reading that was set aside that you saw come up on the screen, to be transfigured. It's an experience. It's resurrection. It's rebirth. It's to know that God is at work in your life and is to be overcome by joy. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. To be healed can mean a lot of things. In fact, death can also be seen as healing if somebody is really sick. But to be made whole is to be enveloped by a peace that passes all understanding. It is to know a joy that bubbles up uncontrollably. It is to know the power of God's grace in one's life, and it is to respond with thanks, with gratitude, and with laughter. Right. There are a lot of Anglican churches, nobody laughs. You know, it's against the rules. Don't you dare laugh in here. No. Today's readings present us with a series of contrasts. We have the contrast between those who have leprosy and those who don't. Between a fearful culture and desperate people. Between people who long to know wholeness and the one who can make them whole. In a lot of ways, I could be talking about today's world. I mean, we live among lepers. Sometimes we're the leper, and other times we treat others like lepers. And there's no question we're all in search of wholeness. But so many different barriers that separate us human beings that make us or somebody else a leper. Fear, mistrust, misunderstanding, anger, loneliness, the inability to communicate with each other, the inability to communicate even with those we love the most and are closest to. In so many ways, we move through life shrouded in desperation. Either we feel like a leper to the world, untouchable and unclean, or we have chosen others to be treated like lepers, untouchable and unclean. The real issue, the leprosy we face, has more to do with the fact that we simply and yet profoundly do not understand one another, and no one so far is willing to sit down and talk. The ABC ran a program maybe 2 years ago about everyday people they put on the street with homeless people. And one of the comments that came out from the homeless people was not they wanted handouts or money or anything else. They wanted relationship. They didn't want someone talking at them and telling them how they could cure them and fix them and move them on and everything else. They wanted to be able to share their story. That was the most important thing for them. It's easier to treat one another as lepers. It's easier to avoid any chance of coming together because we might be transformed by the other. We might be changed. We might even come away liking the other person. We might sense the movement of God and experience joy. And we just can't have that, can we? We can't risk that possibility, can we? My mother-in-law, my late mother-in-law, was amazing. She could sit down anywhere and start talking to anybody. And I remember the number of times I'll go, oh, I'm so embarrassed. You know, why is she talking to this person? But she could do it. She could talk to the lame and the lost. Helen and I would often quip how she would pick up the strays from church. You know, the ones that nobody wanted to sit next to because they might smell a bit. They might not be as clean as anybody else. They didn't have a zip-up Bible under their arm. Okay. Risa Aslan is a journalist. She's also a committed Muslim. Following the murder of the Charlie Hebdo editors, writers and cartoonists in 2015, she wrote, "The sad irony in all of this is that the Muslims who've resorted to violence in response to this offence are merely reaffirming the stereotypes advanced by the cartoons that were drawn. Likewise, the Europeans who point to the Muslim reaction as proof that Islam has no place in Europe have only reaffirmed the stereotype of Europeans as aggressive anti-Islamic." It's an interesting situation. Stereotypes are a form of leprosy that keep people apart. It's a form of leprosy that we willingly take on because it offers us a safe haven from having to interact with the other and the other unknown. It's just easier to adopt this form of leprosy than to risk reaching out and touching or being touched. It's not until human beings are able to see one another as children of God that we're able to sit down and begin to try and understand one another. This is true not just of Muslims and Christians or Muslims and Jews, but also true for grown-ups and teenagers, for blacks and whites, for gays and straights, for liberals and conservatives, old hymn lovers and new music lovers. I subjected you to some new music this morning. Because we see it's not just a matter of willing to reach out and touch. We can control that. You can control that, whether you reach out and touch. More importantly, it's a matter of being willing to risk being touched. Touched by God and changed and transformed and made whole. I've said to you before, my pastoral care teacher at Theological College said, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of risk, not a comfort zone. Author and poet Maya Angelou, when talking about the history of slavery in America, states that on many plantations, the slaves were not allowed to laugh. There was a rule against it. So when the urge to laugh became uncontrollable, when the urge to laugh became absolutely irrepressible, and you know what it's like, if you get the giggles, you're with somebody and you're having a great time, you get the giggles, there is nothing in the world that's going to stop you laughing. Right? Isn't it wonderful when you have children and they get the giggles? Yeah, pity a few adults don't get the giggles more often, but still. So when the urge to laugh became irrepressible, they had what they called the laughter barrel. At the moment when they couldn't hold it any longer, they would, under the pretext of getting something out of the barrel, lean down inside and let it all out. They would laugh and laugh and laugh. Now, Maya Angelou goes on to say that what was behind such a strange rule was fear. The plantation owners feared that if the slaves were allowed to laugh, they might laugh at them. Or worse yet, the laughter of the slaves might become so infectious that the masters would start laughing with them. And how can you laugh with a person one day and have that person be your slave the next? Perhaps the church must become the modern day version of the laughter barrel. We live in a world that is in many ways hostile. The church is our safe place. It's where we come and let it all out. It's where we can come and wrestle with the tough issues. It's where we can come and be held accountable and holds others accountable in love. It's where we can come and seek the presence and guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's where we can come and experience wholeness. It's where we can come and talk about the experiences of grace. And the church is where we can come and practice not only letting our joy out, but also sharing our joy with that hostile world out there. It's not just about being together here in church, it's about being the church. Like the leper in Mark, it's not just about spreading the good news, it's about being the good news. And should be where we learn to be the good news. This is where we're touched, where our identity and character is formed by God's word, God's sacrament, God's spirit. This is where we practice being authentic persons, genuine vessels of God's care and compassion. It's where we find our worth-ship, where we get the word worship from. Look around you. Go on, look around you. Have a look. Come on, don't tell me you've all got stiff necks. Got a mob of lepers over here with stiff necks. It's all right. This is God's gift of laughter barrel, where lepers are welcome and so are tough questions. There's no question that leprosy in any of its forms is infectious. Leprosy is an interesting disease. I don't know how many of you know about it, but you could hang around a leper for years. One of the great missionaries with lepers was in the leper colony for 20 years before he got leprosy. It's a strange, strange disease. So there's no question it's infectious. How it's infectious isn't important. We cannot forget that God's will for the world is peace and salvation. You haven't forgotten that? No? And that's why it's so important we learn to genuinely express the joy we experience through the touch of Jesus Christ in lives. Not just here, but out there. That's why it's so important we learn to laugh for joy in ways that share good news, in ways that cause us to become the good news. All in the hope that as we touch and risk being touched, the world might be infected by God and reduced to the uncontrollable need to laugh together. The Lord be with you.